Well, amen. Thank you for having us here. Some have walked up to me and said, Brother Sidder, it's good to see you again. I'm thinking, I don't remember you, but it's good to see you too. And then other people I do remember, please forgive us. You can imagine how many thousands of people we run into in different churches. And a lot of people here have gotten older, not like me and Noemi. Noemi and I were talking about that on the way, how I think we look in the mirror and we think we're younger than everybody else, but we're getting older too. But isn't it wonderful serving the Lord? And praise the Lord for this church. Thank you for your support and for being a place that stayed faithful and really is concerned about us and has helped us so much. And it's good to see Brother Ronnie and Brother Jonathan, Brother Andy. I really enjoyed your speaking this morning. You know, missionaries, the first time I taught Sunday school was in Spanish. And then I preached thousands of messages in Spanish and probably just hundreds in English. And probably when push comes to shove, I don't do a good job in English or Spanish. But it's a little different. I'm not glad making fun of you, but I'm glad you had a hard time finding the word a couple of times while you were speaking. You said it. That's the reason I noticed. So when I do speak in a minute, please forgive me if I hum-haw around a little bit trying to find the right word. My lovely wife, Noemi, for those of you who are single, Noemi, raise your hand. Those of you who are single, she's taken already, amen. But God called us to go to the Dominican Republic and Missions Conference at our home church, Independent Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland in 1994. And God called me. I asked my wife, we were engaged to be married then, if she would be willing to go to a Spanish-speaking country or anywhere as a missionary. She said no. But when God called me and I made a public call, all of a sudden she was called to the Dominican Republic too. And I'm glad that God did call her. And we have a wonderful time, an opportunity to serve the Lord there. We got there in August of 1996, and you'll be able to see in the DVD presentation. Now, why don't we go ahead and start that? And hello, we are the Sidler family, and we've been serving the Lord in the Dominican Republic since August of 1996. I was saved through the bus ministry of Independent Baptist Church of Clinton, Maryland, where Dr. Creed was pastor. Now, Pastor Mike Creed is the pastor there. I met my wife, pastor in the Spanish church at Independent, and then God called us to go to the Dominican Republic as missionaries. Our daughter Angela was born while we were on deputation. Our son Michael was born in the Dominican Republic, and also our daughter Sarah was born in the Dominican. We started our first church in a poor community called Kitsasweeney. Our church was criticized because we had a lot of kids and poor people, but now those kids have grown up and they're starting churches all over the country. In those beginning days, Dr. Creed came and preached a message on the 12 apostles. And five of our young men were called to preach. God shortly after that gave us a house and a piece of land that we built a three-story building on. Here, it's always better to build with block and cement because of the many termites, hurricanes, and earthquakes. God just gave us the land next door to our church, and we're praying that the Lord would provide for us to be able to put a roof on it and to be able to put a floor in. Most of our people don't have transportation, so it's been a blessing to help give people a ride to church in the bus through the years. Now our town mayor asked us not to use our bus anymore, as he said it's too big for our narrow streets. And so we're obligated to have to try to purchase two of these smaller buses that are about $8,000 a piece Please pray that God would provide for that. Another thing that we always desperately need are good gospel tracts. In the following pictures, you'll see us unloading some tracts from the Beacon of Truth Ministries. Thank you so much for you making it possible for us to receive these tracts and Romans to be able to give out to the Dominican people. On Saturday mornings, we meet for soul-winning visitation, for us to visit our walk-in routes, our Sunday school classes, and just to get the gospel out into the community. Of course, once people get to church, we preach the Word of God to them. We also minister to them in godly conservative music and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then we teach the Word of God in Sunday school to the men, to the women, to the teenagers, and to the children. Another very important job in our ministry is training the young men and women that God has called to serve Him full-time in our Bible Institute. Our theme for this year is Growing in the Work of the Lord. So thankful that the Spirit of God has worked in hearts here through the years, and that we have seen souls saved, folks call the Lord in believers' baptism, and people making whatever decision our Lord would have them to make in their lives. Folks, you can't play baseball alone. You really need a team to work together to be able to make things happen. And we really need a team working together to get things done here in the Dominican Republic. Some of our important team players are Pastor Mike Creed, Dr. Pat Creed, Brother Gary Sprunger, and Brother Jerry Reese. After Brother Josh Wesson went to heaven, Joy and her kids believed that it was God's will for them to continue the work here in the Dominican Republic. They have been working faithfully with our music in our church and with the deaf ministry, and God is using them in a great way. Another new team player will be Sarah Fish, who's on deputation with BIMI, raising her support to work under our ministry. Another team player is Pastor Wellington, who came out of our church and is pastoring the Resurrection Baptist Church. Another team player is Pastor Jose Manuel, who also is out of our church, and he started the Los Molinos Baptist Church. Another team player is Pastor Fellow, who pastors two churches in Dajabon. Pastor Fernando and Aura were saved in our church. Fernando was offered to play baseball with the Atlanta Braves, but God called him to preach at summer camp. Fernando is now pastoring three churches, one in Vietnam, Santo Domingo, one in La Nueva Barquita, and one we just helped him start a year ago in Huachupita. Another team player is Pastor Oliver. The Cleveland Indians wanted to sign him up, but he was called to preach at camp, so he worked with our team instead, and he started a church in Elefantino. Another team player is Pastor Armando, who is a sergeant major in the military, and he started a church in Mano Guayabo. And one of our very important team players is Pastor Leonardo, who does the work of five players. And we just started a church in the area called Marsiquillo with Pastor Leonardo. Don't
During the last two summers, the Lord has called around 100 people to serve Him full-time during our summer camp program. Pray with us as we help them prepare for the work that God has given them. Last but not least, you are also a very important part of our team as we get the gospel out to the precious souls of the people of the Dominican Republic. Thank you so much for your faithful support, for those of you who have visited us here and have helped us with different projects, for your prayers, and for being our friends and fellow team players as we plant churches here in the Dominican Republic. May the Lord continue to richly bless and use you.
And we're empty nesters now, and so that's why none of our kids are with us. Our daughter, Angela, is 27. She's working as church secretary at Woodlawn Baptist Church in Bowie, Maryland. My younger daughter, Sarah, is 18, and she's praying about what God would have her to do in the future. And in the meantime, she's working this year at the school there that they have. And then my son is a Maryland State Trooper. So be on your good behavior when you drive through Maryland. He may pull you over, maybe mention my name. He might give you a break. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms chapter number 84. Psalms chapter 84. When we got to the Dominican Republic, I was 31 years old, and we started a Spanish ministry in our home church. And there really were not a lot of Spanish people around. And we used to have Garcia Sunday. And Garcia Sunday, you remember the old fat phone books? We would look up everybody Garcia and go visit them. And then we would have Gomez Sunday. We would go look for all the Gomez. And no matter what color skin they were, I started talking in Spanish to them. And some of the people thought I was crazy. I said, you never know. So when we went to the Dominican Republic, I'd already been 6 years working with Spanish, but when we got down, and I don't remember the way I was thinking almost 30 years ago, Brother Ronnie, but I remember Brother Ronnie asked me to help teach some of the national pastors how to plant churches, and I thought, I don't even know how to plant a church. I don't know what to do, and of course we learned, and the Lord, our first year, on our anniversary, we had a total of 5 people. That was with my preacher, his wife, a 7-year-old boy, and a 4-year-old girl. And we had more at other times. The next year, we were averaging around 30 people. And we ended up having a big day of 420. And a few weeks later, we baptized 40 in the river. Then the attendance was back down to 30 or so. And Brother Andy and the Dominican, you do go places and see Bible verses. I noticed you said in Sunday school you don't in Spain. And people do say, God bless you. You get on a public bus there, which I don't do hardly ever. But if you get on a public bus there, people say, God bless you. Que Dios le bendiga. Que bueno vele. Here in the States, if somebody said, God bless you, you're grabbing your wallet. What is he after? The folks are very open there. I'm sure you, Brother Altshuler, have wondered, you led somebody to the Lord, and when you're leaving, you're thinking, were they sincere? I don't know. But we try to do our very best to get the gospel to them. But it is an open country. There's so many needs there. There are church needs for churches all over the place. And so we had a lady ask us in a church a couple years ago, why are you in the Dominican Republic? On that small island, as little amount of people there are there, they don't need any more churches. Oh, yes, they do. They need a lot of churches, and pray that the Lord would continue to bless there. But it took us 11 years to start our second church. And after we started our second church, then we sent Pastor Wellington, Brother Ronnie and I talked about the need they had there at Resurrection. And we agreed that we believed, the best of our knowledge, that it was God's will for Wellington to be there. And so he took the church there. And then we started 10 other churches. And the Lord has continued to call new people. And I believe God's calling people. Not a lot of people listening. There are some listening. And the Lord may be calling you. And Pastor Todd, please don't think I'm trying to hit anybody up here. But, you know, I think one of a great thing that people can do is even to go and retire on the mission field and stay and just support a church there. Don't think that just because you're a little on the older side, like I am, that the Lord can't use you. I hope you're open to do whatever God would have you do. But let's just say now we're sitting down like we were last night at Brother Troy and Miss Lisa's house, and they said, well, tell us about this or tell us about that. I want you to get to know us a little bit in this message. I'm not here to preach at you, to yell at you, to tell you all to do it this way. But what I want to do with the message this morning is tell you what kind of a church we're trying to start there in the Dominican Republic. And you can mark it down that what we're going to say is exactly what you sent us there to do. Amen. And we're not always perfect in this. You may not always be perfect, but in Psalms chapter 84, verse 1, says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I don't know if we prayed already. If we did, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, pray that you would bless these following minutes, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Please, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in our hearts. And we ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. What kind of churches should we start in the Dominican Republic? First of all, we should start friendly churches. Amen. Friendly churches. In Spanish, they use the word amable, which is easy to understand. We usually don't say amiable in English. But we should have a friendly church. Our church should be a place where visitors and members are friendly people. Amen. My pastor used to tell us that we should look for people in the services who were sitting by themselves or who maybe look lonely, or and greet them. Be friendly to them. Some people complain that other folks aren't friendly when they need to be friendly. Amen. The Bible says he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I was thinking about this morning about a man named Esteban. Esteban grew up in Brooklyn, New York. He's Dominican. I'm not sure how he got there and how long he was there, but he's been in Dominican, I know, probably 25 years now. Esteban speaks English better than most of us. Very pronunciated. He said that the lady that brought him up, he told me recently, sent him to special speech therapy. But Esteban, when we were working on our building, our first floor, Esteban came up and was hanging on the edge of the wall that we were building, and he cussed me out. Oh, boy, he said nasty, dirty words and very good English, but very bad English at the same time. He cussed me out and told me that we were wasting our time there. Why in the world would we be in a community like that? And what am I looking for? There has to be some ulterior motive. Well, through the years, I've seen the Esteban walking through, and I always try to be friendly to him. And I don't give people money just because I ask for it, but every once in a while I would give him something or buy him something at the little colmado, little convenience store. And Esteban, through the years, I've tried to be friendly to him. And we need to be friendly. Amen? I don't know about you, as a pastor, in my flesh, sometimes I go out and I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want people to know that I'm a pastor, especially when I'm driving. Man, I want to at least raise my fist up sometimes. Have you ever think that you would like your car to be a bumper car to be able to get somebody? Well, after about 27 years, Esteban came by the church last week, just before we came to the Dominican. And Esteban said he woke up and couldn't move. And he went to the doctors and found out one of his lungs collapsed. And he said, "The Lord put on my heart to come to your church." He said, "Pastor, I don't know why, but you've always been really nice to me." He said, "You've always been real kind." And while he was there at the church talking to me, like three of our people, our sergeant major, he always has a gun with him when he's there to protect me, and another lady named Gloria. Gloria, when she came to church, she was sitting about right where you are, Brother Ronnie, is where she would sit. And my wife would sit there. And her first two times she came to church, she said, "Hey, that's my chair. Get up. Get up." But Gloria was watching after me because Esteban is a dangerous person in the community. He lives on the streets. Our sergeant major, and there was another person that was watching. And my wife came up and said in English, she did not know Esteban spoke English. She said, I'm just trying to get you away from him so he doesn't bother you," or something like that, she said. And I said, "I don't need to get away from him." And Esteban looked, and, well, Esteban got saved in the service that day. And Esteban, we don't have a mission at our church, but I sent him to a mission, paid some money. I sent some more money to buy some food with the pastor of the mission there. But I believe God put him in our way and allowed us to deal with him for over 25 years. And finally, God was able to reach Esteban. Amen. Folks, this morning we should be friendly. Now, as I said, some of us complain that people aren't real friendly, but we need to be friendly. Amen. When I go to pastors' meeting, usually I think, these pastors aren't very nice. And finally, I get bored and I get up and start talking to people and I think, oh, they are nice. They're actually nicer than me. You ever seen the Tom and Jerry cartoon where Tom found this girl cat that he liked? And he dressed up with a fancy hat on. And he had his guitar and he was singing, "If you is or if you ain't my baby, blah, blah, blah." And he was trying to win her heart. Well, then the other cat came and tried to win her. So I don't remember who ended up getting the girl cat. But, you know, we might have to be singing some "If you is, if you ain't my baby." And usually when people don't know you, they think, "He's weird. He's weird." But then after they get to know you, they realize that you're probably weirder than they are, you know. But, folks, we ought to be a friendly church. Amen. It might be awkward to talk to the missionaries. It might be awkward for us to talk to you. We think, I wonder what they think about me. I kept checking. In the Dominican, it's hot. Now I'm getting more used to it. But for years, I haven't been able to button my top button and my shirt collar. And so it tends to kind of open up, but it just bothers me. I'm so used to not wearing it now. And so I wonder what you're thinking. You wonder what I'm thinking. Let's put that aside and try to be a blessing and help each other. Amen. I believe God sends people to Berean Baptist Church because he wants you to help them. Amen. And come to church looking yourself, just like I need to in the Dominican Republic. Looking to help people. We should be a friendly church. Amen. Not only that, the churches we start in the Dominican Republic should be longed for and desired. Well, I long for and desire to start new churches. We were in Hazard, Kentucky at a church. And in the Dominican Republic, the town centers always have a beautiful park. And right in the middle is a beautiful section for a Catholic church. Almost all the major towns there are, in the minor towns in the Dominican Republic, is probably like that all over the world. I was in Hazard, Kentucky, and they had a town center and a beautiful park. And right in the middle, where in the Dominican would have been the Catholic Church, was Dairy Queen. Amen. And I was desirous. I longed for a Heath Bar Butterfinger Blizzard. Amen. Folks, we really should love. I love churches. I love being here with y'all this morning. Praise the Lord for new churches. What kind of church should we start in the Dominican Republic? Churches that have spiritual songs. We should start churches that have spiritual songs, songs and hymns and spiritual songs. In verse number 2, it says, "My soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." I believe that, Brother Andy, that God knew Brother Ronnie Autry very well. And so here in English, the King James translators translated that "crieth," because Brother Autry's singing sounds more like he's crying. Amen. But in Spanish, it actually says, "Mi corazón y mi carne cantan al Dios vivo." I'd never really did a word study. I was just thinking I was going to pick on Brother Autry today on that. And but in Spanish, the word uses is singing. And even if that's not talking about that of song here, which I believe it is, we should start churches that have good godly music. Amen. Our church should be a place of absolutely beautiful music. We should practice and try to do our best. We should practice to sing songs that would help those who hear feel like they've ascended to heaven. We should learn to play instruments to honor and glorify the Lord with our music. I'm not against canned music. When I was in Bible college, we were taught not to use canned music. Or in other words, you should have people that play the instruments. But it's harder and harder to find people that will play instruments in churches. And we have what we call a hymn player, and that's usually what we use. We do have, Miss Joy has some problems. She has vertigo. And when she's playing, she'll look over at the song leader, and it gives her vertigo to do that. So she hasn't been playing the piano, but she takes and takes it. But we should really work at having good, godly music. Berean came down and visited us right after we got to the Dominican. And we had a special meeting and had a good group of people come. And they brought different people that played different instruments. And they had those bells. Everyone makes a different sound. And Pastor Sweat preached, and I translated into Spanish. This one lady came. Her profession was, I'll just say, woman of the night was her profession. And she dressed that way. Well, her daughter begged her to come, so she came to the service. And we had beautiful, beautiful music, a great message by Pastor Sweat. And at the end of the service, I stood by the back door. It was in that building you and I were sharing together in the beginning, Brother Ronnie. And as people were walking out, this lady dressed very immodestly, dressed like she was on the street corner somewhere. She was crying. Had tears coming down both sides of her face. And she said, "Pastor, that was some pretty music tonight." She said, "Pastor, I don't think I've ever heard anything like that in my life." And you know when you get really choked up and you go, she did one of those. And she said, "Pastor, it kind of reminds me of what I think it's probably going to be like in heaven." I think that we should be really careful to have good music that glorifies our Lord in the churches that we start. Amen. That's what I see in the verse there anyway. That's what David said. I know we're talking about the tabernacle here, but our church should also be a place where we feel at home. In verse 3, it says, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." We ought to feel comfortable at our church. Now, Pastor Todd did not share any gossip about anybody here today. If I say something that hits somebody, told me nothing about anybody today. Last night on the phone, he shared quite a few things with me, but nothing today. We really ought to make this our place. Feel comfortable. We're already comfortable. We're thinking about staying a few more weeks out at Sebaldi's house, especially after I saw that good food in the refrigerator. And amen. I'm just teasing. But in verse 3 again, it says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house and the swallow a nest for herself. The birds know what a good thing they have. In the Dominican Republic at our church, we have a lot of pigeons. Y'all have pigeons bothering you at your church? And we used to have on the third floor, we have a metal or tin roof. And there's an open space on the block that goes around the whole building. And the pigeons just loved it there. And we would come outside to fellowship after the service and walk out and be talking. And all of a sudden you say, oh, it's raining. It's not raining. It's the pigeons. And so we had some of our guys take and they built up from the block all the way as high as they could, cement all around, so the pigeons wouldn't bother us anymore. But every, I don't know how many feet, we'd have to have a piece of metal that we took and attached the tin to, so at least that is there. And guess what? All the pigeons are still there. They don't have as much room as they used to, but they're still there. If pigeons can enjoy being at our church, why can't we enjoy being there? Amen. We're not going to let the pigeons take over. Amen. The different churches that we started in the Dominican Republic should also be churches where people use the altar. In verse number 3, at the end it said, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, O my King and my God. And we know there's family altar. There's private altar. Here on the platform or coming up the platform. But the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, we see the altar all through the Bible. And when we see the altar, it's always talking about our redemption in Jesus Christ. When Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn asunder. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. We should not be ashamed to do business with the Lord, whether it be our family altar, our private altar, our public altar in church. The church is a place of altar. I've made a lot of decisions at the altar. Amen. And we should not be critical of others. I don't know if you've ever been. I've been a missionary in the church. I'm picking on Brother Austria today. He's one of the few people I know his name is why I keep saying. I've been in churches that I'm embarrassed to come and use the altar during an invitation because people might think, oh, this missionary, he must have sin in his life. Maybe I have less sin in my life, but I don't know about you. God still speaks to my heart. Amen. And when God speaks to my heart, I want to do business with him right away because my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful, and I can't trust. I need to get it done right away. Our churches that we start should also be a place of blessing. Should be a place of blessing. And verse 4 says, Bienaventurado los, I'm just teasing. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. It's wonderful coming to church and going home, of course, but even more blessing for those that dwell there, adoring and praising day and night, having the privilege to clean the church. You remember Brother Dickens? From Independent, every time we'd go to Independent almost, Brother Dickens was there cleaning the church. And after him, Steve Kochak and some other. But people that dwell at God's house are guests in God's home. People who enjoy God's hospitality. People who are completely dedicated to holy, consecrated work. People who are separated from the vileness of the world. It is a blessing being involved in a good church like this. Amen. In all over the Dominican Republic, people need churches like this and churches like the ones that through your help, for teaming together with us, that we're able to have churches that can be a blessing to these folks. Our churches also should be a place where we give our strength. In verse number 5, the Bible says, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee. We really ought to give our strength to the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I have a friend in Puerto Rico named Roland Rivera. And he was telling me how he moved to the States, to Colorado, and he helped a pastor start a new church and learned a lot. And he went back to Puerto Rico, and he went, I don't know if you all heard of a pastor named Cliff Hayes. Pastor Hayes was drowned, and Brother Rivera became one of a two-team pastor team later. But he went there when Brother Hayes was there. He said, Brother Hayes, I've been in Colorado, and the Lord's used us to be able to help, and I just want you to know we're here to serve, to do whatever God would have us do. Brother Hayes handed him a brush to clean the toilet. He said, you go clean the guys' bathrooms, I'll clean the girls'. He dropped the toilet brush on the floor and stormed out of the church in a fit, was upset. About 3 months later, this is Brother Rivera told me this, he went for a special meeting they had. And he said the message was all about him. Of course, the preacher didn't know that, the guest speaker. And God dealt with his heart and shared with him that given the Lord all of our strength, so that means sometimes you get your hands dirty. Amen. Sometimes it's not necessarily going to be something that you're going to get the applause of men for. Our church should be a place where our heart is. In verse number 5 at the end, it says, whose hearts are the ways of them. You remember maybe a time when you were at church, you were 100% there with everything. 100%. I mean, whatever prayer, you're, yes, 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 Lord. I remember the first time because the Lord dealt with my heart as they were praying for the offering at Independent. When they were praying for the offering, I remember thinking, I wonder if Grandma has any of that fried chicken left. I'm going to have some fried chicken, some of those mashed potatoes and gravy, and some of that peach cobbler when I get there. And the Lord let me know right away I wasn't enjoying it. I got a message, or not a message, I'm going to study it out and believe. I heard a guy say one time from your lesson this morning, Brother Andy, heard a guy say, bless God, all my information is original. I don't get anything from anybody else. And I had one of our preacher boys next to me. I said, if it's good, pass it on. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. But don't use it because you're lazy. Amen. I'm getting way, I'm taking a bunch of rabbit trails now, forgetting even what I'm talking about. The Lord dealt with me and let me know that my heart wasn't there. We ought to be here in our heart. Amen. We ought to be excited. And our church should be a place of wells and pools. And verse number 6 says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also fill up the pools. This should be a place where folks are able to come and in a dry and thirsty land and get what they need. It also should be a place of power. In verse 7 it says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God. My mom and dad used to have a green 66 SS Chevelle with Super Sport Roadrunner mufflers. And they would take us to school in the morning. And there would be, there was a canopy, a round canopy with a tin roof. And we would wait outside in a line before we went in. And my mom and dad would pull up with that SS Chevelle with those Roadrunner mufflers. And you would hear, and everybody knew when we were coming. We walk in, you know, doing this type of thing. Folks, our church should be a place where where the power of the gospel is present, where the power of the Holy Spirit, where the power of Jesus Christ is. Should be a place. Maybe folks don't know exactly what's going on, but there's something special going on at that place. And praise the Lord for the special things God has done in Dominican. It also is a place of prayer that we should start. In verse number 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. And let me just jump to the last point for time. Our church should be a place of trust. Verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. I dare say that y'all like Pastor Todd. I don't know Pastor Todd very well. We met at the Embassy Suites. I don't remember what it's called now, Aparto Hotel or something like that in Dominican. And I've talked to Pastor Todd on the phone and saw him here yesterday. But I'm sure you like the way Pastor Todd preaches, but you probably aren't really interested in coming and hearing Pastor Todd or Pastor Hurst or Brother Steve Sidler. I think you've come today because you believe God is working here at this church. You trust that this church is going to be able to give you something to be what God would have you be. Today we're inundated with so much, but we should be a church that can be trusted, that's going to preach and practice the truth. We feel a responsibility to you as your missionaries that you can know that what we're doing in the Dominican Republic is what you approve of, what you want done here. And I dare say that you want done here and you want done there what God tells us we should do in His Word. Amen?
Amen.
What type of churches are we starting in the Dominican? What type of church is this here? And how are you? Remember when we started talking about being friendly? I would like just to sit, and like I've been sucking on lemons or drank a whole bottle of pickle juice, amen, and talk about, we point like that in Dominican. I one time went to a gas station and said, "Where's your bathroom?" And the guy went, I said, no. We're sucking on lemons, but folks, we need to make it happen. We need to make it happen. This little girl told Mrs. June Creed, her granddaughter, "I want one of those cell phones." She said, "Those are real expensive." "No, I want one of those cell phones." She said, "Honey, those are real expensive." She said, "Grandma, make it happen." Let's make it happen. Amen. Let's just do what God tells us to do. And Brother Andy, yes, it takes years sometimes. It took years for us, Brother Ronnie. You watched us. You watched us struggle. I've watched you struggle through the years. But God can do it. I don't know about you. I want my churches to be like your churches here. And we want churches like that spread all over the Dominican Republic and all over the world. And let's pray this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And preacher's going to come with our heads bowed and eyes closed.
The church is the called out body of believers. It is made up of individuals, but it is also a body. And so the question is, we're going to have a healthy church body, we must have healthy individual Christian walks with the Lord. And so this morning we've heard some very sound counsel from God's Word, both in our Sunday school and in our morning service. So right now, just the quietness of this moment, would you just ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you that which you need to be changed, and recognize you don't have the ability within yourself to change, but that God has the power of His grace, the wisdom of His Word, to change you if you will just open yourself up and allow Him to, and be willing to commit yourself to being obedient to whatever He shows you from His Word. It could be that there are some here today that would say, "I'm not really sure what all is being preached because I really don't have this as a context in my life." It may be that there's never been that time when somebody's taken the Word of God and shown you the good news. The bad news is that you're a sinner. And because you have broken God's law and sinned, sin is the transgression of the law, that you are headed for eternal death. Forever, for the wages of sin is death. The wonderful good news is this, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, God the Son, perfect eternal God, in the fullness of time came to this earth, sent by the Father, was born of the Virgin Mary, not having inherited a sin nature, And he lived a perfect and sinless life and fulfilled the law completely and perfectly that we have broken. And he did it on our behalf because he loves us. And he went to the cross and he died on the cross, not for his sins, for he never sinned, but for ours. And he died and was buried and he rose again from the dead, and he's the living Son of God. And if there's never been a time in your life when you've come to understand that, where you've never called out by faith in prayer to Jesus Christ to ask him to forgive you of your sin and to give you his gift of eternal life, today could be that day. And then you'll be made a new creation, and then you will understand what we're talking about. And then you will have a desire for the things of God and a relationship with him in the eternity that is settled forever in heaven. So if we can be of help to you today in that way, that would be our privilege to do so. I'm not going to give an come-forward invitation this morning, but here's what I am going to do. While you're sitting there in just a moment, I'm going to have our pianist play through two stanzas of an invitation song. And born-again believers, I want you right there where you are this morning to do business with God. And then after the service, I'm going to encourage you to find somebody that you know cares for you spiritually and ask them, share with them what decision God spoke to you about, and then ask them to help you to be accountable and ask them to pray for you this week. If you're not sure where your soul is going to spend eternity, find somebody here who can help you with that. Any one of our missionaries, and someone will be back by their displays or they'll be through the building. Please catch one of them. They'd be delighted to take the word of God and show you the way of salvation. I'll be back at the connection point. Please come and see me, and I'll be glad to sit down with you in the quietness of that room and open my Bible and show you the way of salvation. But please, right now, as our pianist begins to play, would you commune with God?